You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
Wow. Don't you love, I love this day because it gets our mind focused in on life and how important life is and living life to give God glory. And every time we have Senior Recognition Sunday, my mind and my heart the week leading into that, I'm looking back at my life and what God's brought me through. And you know, I remember when I graduated high school and I had all the right answers and I knew everything. And then the longer you live, just like Mr. Rowland said, the longer you live, you realize what you don't know, right? I believe God's given me a word today out of Matthew chapter 6. So if you got a Bible, why don't you find Matthew chapter 6 real quick? If you've got my same Bible, it's page 667. Almost 666, right? 667, if you got my same Bible, which I don't know many of y'all do, but anyway, to get you close. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. I want to talk today about the secret of life, because God gives us in this passage the secret to life. Now, my 11-year-old thinks he has the secret of life. In fact, just this week, Jude and Jake, my 17-year-old, were driving and heading to ride a horse in Doyleen, and while they were heading there, Jude had a question. You know, Jude's, he's 11, he said, Jake, would you rather have $20 million or 30 million loyal friends? Jake, 17, I want the money. Give me 20 million bucks. And he looked at Jude and he said, well, what would you rather have? Jude said, I want 30 million loyal friends. Jake said, no way. I just need a handful of friends. Give me the money, right? Jude said, no. Think about this, Jake. If you had 30 million loyal friends and you asked each of them for $2, you got 60 million bucks. And you can almost see his little wheels turn. And then he said, hey, look, if I had $60 million, I'd buy a chocolate factory. He said, and I'd sell all 30 million of my loyal friends one $5 bar of chocolate. And he said, I'm not good at math, but that's a lot more money than you'll have. And he said, once I own the chocolate factory of 30 million loyal friends and all of this money, he said, I'm running for president. He said, because I'll win the president because I got 30 million loyal friends to vote for me, right? Hey, listen, isn't it cool when you're 11 years old, you can figure out the secret to life? All you need is 30 million loyal friends who have $2 a piece, amen, and are willing to give it to you. But that really is not the secret of life. It's not how much we can have in our bank account. That's not what's going to bring us joy and fulfillment in life. It's not the people that will surround our lives, though friends and family are very important for our life. But really, seriously, all of them are temporary. We won't have them forever. And so it's not the things that we can count, the money or the people that is the secret to life. It's far deeper than that. It's more significant than that. It lasts longer than that. In fact, the very things that Jude was talking about is the very things that oftentimes you and I worry about in this life. The things that we fret over, the things that we get anxious about are those very things that are physical and temporary things. Now, while my mind has been this week and my heart has been on really challenging our seniors to not just find but live out the secret to life, but it's really for all of us. Doesn't matter how old you are, you could be spending significant energy and effort in your life chasing after things that are temporary. So if you got your Bible in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is in the middle of a sermon. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 is what we would refer to as a Sermon on the Mount. It's referred to that because he stood on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee, made kind of an amphitheater. He didn't need a microphone or speakers. It kind of made its own acoustics there. And so he preached this sermon on the side of this hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And he really was wanting to drive home things for his followers. There was a multitude of people. His 12 disciples were there, folks who had begun following him early on in his ministry, people who saw him do things, who had heard him teach things. And so there's this mass of people who were there. And the topic of his sermon is how to live in this world being a citizen of another world. That's the whole topic of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. How, literally, how to be a kingdom citizen of heaven while living here on this earth. And so in chapter 6, I want you to look with me real quick in verse 25. I'm going to read a couple of these verses and pull a few things out, and then I'm going to head and get you out to our foyer to celebrate with our seniors around their tables. Look here at verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And here it is. Here's the secret of life. It's in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look at verse 33 again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I want us to walk through three things this morning. And if you got a pen or a piece of paper, I want you to jot these down. Here's the first thing. It's the secret of life. In this very first phrase of chapter, verse 33, you and I are to make his kingdom our perspective. What does that mean? We're to set our eyes, our attention, our focus on his kingdom rather than on our kingdom. It's easy to get in a routine or a rut where we spend seasons of our life making decisions based upon furthering our own kingdom. Now, what does that look like? It's gathering up as much as I can gather to enhance my own kingdom. It's making decisions for me and my family to become more and more comfortable in our own kingdom. We make decisions, whether it's education or it's professionally, and we make decisions to move from this job to that job, not thinking about the kingdom of God, not thinking about his will for our life, but we make decisions chasing after our own kingdom in order to advance our own kingdom, and we make decisions on this level, never seeking the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus, in the midst of this sermon, he draws these people in, this multitude of people in, and not to look at the things that are temporary, but to draw our eyes, to draw their eyes up to see what a kingdom perspective looks like. To live our life, to make decisions, to get involved in things that are going to impact the kingdom of God, not just the temporary kingdoms of this world. In fact, all the way through, and I don't have time to share all of these with you, but if you read chapter 5, 6, and 7, this entire sermon is one right after another, statements that Jesus is making for you and I to live differently than this world lives. And he says, for you and I, the secret for life as a believer is to make his kingdom your perspective, to place your eyes on his kingdom. In fact, simply stating, we are to live here getting ready for there. We live here for there. We live our life here with heaven in perspective. Not just retirement, not just what's going to happen after we die. We live here with heaven in mind. Faith, that's what Jesus said in the sermon, that don't store your treasures up here on this earth, but store your treasures in heaven. Keep your eyes on the kingdom of God, not just focused here on earth. And so for seniors, when we make these decisions and we accomplish all that we're accomplishing and you're heading out into a new chapter in your life, here's going to be the temptation. Satan is constantly going to be drawing your attention down. He's constantly going to be drawing your eyes down to those things that are physical, those things that are temporary. But Jesus said the secret to life is that you focus your attention on his kingdom and not your own. We'll look at the second statement of verse 33. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the first thing is we make his kingdom our perspective. But here's the second thing. You and I have to make his righteousness our pursuit. We have to make it our priority, his righteousness. Watch what happened in our life when we surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. We talked about this last week. The Holy Spirit was deposited into our life when we surrendered our life to Christ. Remember last Sunday's message, I said, the word said that you have to repent of your sins and you follow Christ, you submit to his authority. And when we surrender our life to him, then he gives us the remittance of that sin and he comes to live inside of the promise of the Father comes to live inside of us. He deposits the third person of the Trinity into your life. Now, he deposits the Holy Spirit into our life, but he deposits something else into our life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, God deposits the righteousness of Christ into your life. Now, that's really cool. Now, the simplest way for me to understand it, and I'm simple-minded. I didn't graduate summa cum laude. Anytime I graduated thank you, laude. And so I have to get it on the bottom shelf for me to get it, right? I remember when I was a little bitty boy, my mama would dance in the kitchen with me because I could not remember 6 times 7 equals 42. But now I don't know how long I live. I'll never forget that. But for whatever reason in my ADD little mind, I couldn't get it. I couldn't grasp those multiplication facts. I remember mama would tuck me in bed every night after I'd have my whipping. And she said, listen, I know God's really going to use you, but until he does, take this pill, right? I live that life. It's got to be on the bottom shelf for me to understand it. Here's the simplest way for me to understand. God deposits the righteousness of Christ into your life, into my life at salvation. When God looks at me, he don't see Gavin the way you see Gavin. He don't even see Gavin the way Gavin sees Gavin. When God looks into Gavin's life, he doesn't see all of the blunders Gavin makes on a daily basis. He doesn't see all of the times that Gavin loses his cool. He doesn't see all the times when he says something he shouldn't say, does things he shouldn't do. When God looks at Gavin's life because of the righteousness of God that has been in deposited into my life through Jesus Christ, when he looks at Gavin's life, you know what he sees? He sees Jesus. You know what that does? That takes all the pressure off of my life. I don't have to perform to make God to like me. I don't have to do things so God would love me. He loves me completely already because Jesus lives in me and his righteousness has been given to me. So Jesus Christ is righteous. He's holy. He died a holy. He died holy so that you and I could be made holy in his righteousness. And so when the Father looks at me, he sees Jesus. You don't. You see Gavin a lot of times. But when he looks at my life, he sees all of Gavin's blunders have been wiped away because of the righteousness of Christ has been imputed into my life. That's what Romans chapter 4 says, that blessed is the one whose righteousness has been imputed, that God's righteousness has been imputed, deposited into their life. Now watch this. He's placed it into my life. I can't do that. He did that. But I have to let it out. Every day of my life, I make decisions. Am I going to live righteously? Now, that's why Jesus said in this passage, the secret to life is this, that you and I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We let it out of our life. We make decisions on a daily basis to let Jesus' righteousness out in our life. You make decisions about how you act. You make decisions about what you're going to do, what you're going to say. That is letting the righteousness of Christ out of your life. Now, I can live in an unholy and unrighteous manner, but the secret to life is that I live with heaven, the kingdom of heaven's perspective. But the next one is that I live a way that the righteousness of Christ is my priority and my pursuit. Here's the third thing. It's the last thing, all right? And I was sitting there listening to Mr. Rowland, and I thought, you know what? He's stealing my sermon. He must have listened to Facebook Live on his way here from 9:30 service, and he stole my sermon. Here's the third thing. Watch what it says. He says, and all these things shall be added to you. What are those things? It's the things we worry about. It's the things we get anxious about. It's the things that we're not really in control of, but it's the things that we fret about the most. And he says, all of these things shall be added unto you. Watch this. The first part of verse 34, therefore do not worry. Because he will take care of the things that we get anxious about. So here's the third thing I want you to see about the secret to life. You and I have to let his plan in our life bring us peace. Now, not worry, not fret, not anxiety, but allow his plan in our life. You know when I worry the most is when I try to live out Gavin's plan instead of his plan in my life. Now when we start talking about plans, and I got like 3 minutes to tell you this. Watch this. The biggest question across this room this morning when we talk about God's plan is, how in the world do I know God's plan? How can I, as a high school senior, know what direction God wants me to go to in my life? How do I know what I'm supposed to major in? How do I know what my career is going to be? How do I know who to marry? How do I know where to live? How do I know where to plant my life? How do I know if God wants me to have a family or God wants me to be single? How do I know any of those questions? How do you know God's plan for your life? Maybe you've already graduated high school. Maybe you've already started a career. Maybe you still have that question in your mind. How do I know God's plan? Well, here it is, and Mr. Rowland already told it. He quoted this verse to you. It's in Psalm 119, it's verse 105. It says, God's word is a lamp unto your feet. It's not a flashlight that shines out into the distance. God's word's a lamp unto your feet. Watch this, it's a light unto your path. It's not a spotlight that shows you the end of the destination. It's just a lamp that shows you the next step. You and I will never know God's will for our life. I'm not going to say a lot of good stuff today. This is good. You and I will never know God's will for our life apart from God's word. You and I will just be walking in the dark, making decisions based upon our emotions and our feelings if we don't spend time daily in God's word. We have to spend time daily in God's word. Now watch what this verse means. It means that God illuminates enough for us to take the first step. There was a little boy, and he was sitting at the dinner table with his family, and he had asked his mama to pass him the mashed potatoes, and his daddy was sitting at the table. He said, son, have you fed the cows today? And he said, oh, daddy, I forgot to feed the cows. He said, well, you think you're going to eat before the cows eat? You're not eating yet. You need to go outside and feed the cows. He said, but daddy, it's dark outside. You know I'm scared of the dark. Boogeyman's, I don't want to go out there. He said, son, you go out there and feed them cows. You're not going to eat until the cows eat. And so the little boy pushed back from the table, and he stands up from his chair, and he walks to the back door. It's a screen door right there on the kitchen, and he kind of speaks back to his daddy at the table. He said, daddy, I can't even see the barn from here. And he said, well, don't worry, son. He said, can you see the bottom of the steps right in front of you? He said, I can see the bottom step. He said, well, just go to the bottom step. So the little boy walks to the bottom step. Now he's in the darkness. And boy, everything in him is just raging with fear. And he kind of hollers back through the screen door to his daddy. He said, daddy, I still can't see the barn. He said, "But I know you probably can't see it there, but can you see the gate at the end of the sidewalk in front of you?" He said, "I can see the gate." He said, "Well, go to the gate." And so the little boy goes to the gate, and he hollers back at his dad. He said, "I still can't see the barn." He said, "But can you see the hitching post in front of the barn?" He said, "Daddy, I can see the hitching post." He said, "Go to the hitching post." And he gets to the hitching post, and he hollers back at his daddy. He said, "I can see the barn now." That's what Psalm 119:105 is. God doesn't show you the barn in your life. He just shows you the bottom of the steps. God's word just illuminates enough in your life to take the next step. Not all of the steps. How do I know if I'm living God's plan for my life? You will never know it. The secret to life is you will never know God's plan for your life apart from God's word. Spending time in God's word allows God to speak into your life and illuminate your steps. I want you to think about those three things. Listen to what Jesus said one more time. In the context of living in this world differently than the rest of this world, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, Christians, how are we to do it? Watch this. You're to seek first the kingdom of God. Not your own kingdom, but his kingdom. You're to seek first the kingdom of God, and watch this, and his righteousness. You're to let out the righteousness of Christ in your life. You're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and watch this, and all of these things will be added unto you. That the peace will overwhelm you as you walk in God's plan and purpose for your life. Here's a question. Where are you? What's going on in your life? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. There's never been a moment where you said yes to following Jesus and you turned away from following your own desires or following after this world. So maybe this morning, you may be in the balcony, maybe down here on the floor, you may be wherever you are in the sanctuary, but Christ, you know that you are running after this world and Christ is not living inside of you. And so in just a few moments, our pastors are gonna be here across the front. Our Hunter and the worship team is going to come up and lead us in a hymn of invitation. And really all that is, it's just an RSVP. You get RSVP. You get invitations to go all the time to birthday parties and the different things, showers. And they just need to know that you're planning on coming. It's an RSVP. So the invitation is just that. It's an RSVP. You've got to respond to the invitation that God has for you to come into his family and to receive his grace. And so that invitation, we stand up here and we invite you to come. We're going to stand, all of us, in a moment together after I pray. And all we're doing is saying, hey, why don't you come to Jesus? If God's drawing you today, why don't you step out from where you are and come to one of these pastors and say, hey, I'm RSVPing. I am responding to what God's doing in my life, and I'm saying yes to following Jesus. Now, I believe there's some folks in here that need to be saved, but I believe probably the majority of us, we may be running after the things Jude talked about. We may be running after the things that we can count. Dollars, relationships, physical things, temporary things. Maybe Christ lives in you, but you need to spend some time today at the altar and refocus your heart and your recommitment to Christ. Whatever it is that God's leading you to do, maybe you just need one of our pastors to pray over you. I want to encourage you. In fact, I'm going to do this. If you may have a graduate here today, and we didn't recognize families and parents, you're really important. Here's where you can be the most important. I want to challenge you to do this. If your graduate's sitting by you, to do one of two things. Bring them down to the altar and you pray over them. The whole family, just come on down the altar and pray over them. Ask God to order their steps. Ask God to use them, to protect them, and to point them toward him. But maybe, so I just don't really want to go down there. Well, just gather up right there where you are. If you're in the balcony, you're on the floor, your graduate's sitting right there close to you. Dad, why don't you gather everybody up right there around you, and why don't you pray over your senior today and start praying and make a commitment to them that you're going to pray for them on a daily basis, that God would use them, protect them, and point them to Jesus, that God would reveal to them the secret of life, because Satan has a plan for their life just as much as God does, and he wants to derail them and destroy them. And so you and I, as parents, we better be praying over them. And so this is what I want to do. I'm going to pray together. We're going to stand, and then we're going to have an invitation. And if God's leading you to come and visit with one of our counselors, you come. Whatever God's leading you to do, you come this morning as we pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. God's light into our path. Father, the secret to life is a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. God, I pray, Father, today that you would not just reveal that to us, but God, we would commit our life to you. God, have your way in this place. Move in a powerful way. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Halton, check us out on our website at fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Halton.